This year in the English congregation, we're expanding on a theme of what it means to seek God's vision. And in order to seek God's vision in our lives in this new year, one thing has to be very clear. In order to seek God's vision, we have to actually know who God is. And that goes to the mission statement of our church. If you guys didn't know, we have a mission statement in our church, and it's to know Christ and to make him known. So first, we must know who he is so that we can make him known in our families, in our workplaces, amongst our friends, on our school campuses. So what does it mean to know Christ? In the book of Mark, as well as the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we learn about who Jesus Christ truly is. And in the book of Mark, we see Jesus revealing himself as the Lord. We see Jesus performing all kinds of miracles to prove to those who are watching, to those who are experiencing the different things that Jesus is doing, he's revealing himself as God. But the sad thing is this, that there were many who saw the miracles of Jesus, but they were more excited about what he could do rather than who he is. So you see, he was revealing himself as God, but more, there were so many people who were just more excited to see something new and amazing. Every time we hear from the Word of God is an opportunity. We can simply say, wow, a lot of amazing things happened. Or we could say, wow, this Jesus, I want to know him more deeply. This Jesus, I want to know him and make him known. And what we'll find is that Jesus is God who is powerful. But he's not a powerful God that just is far away, is distant. No, Jesus is a powerful God who is personal and willing to care for us in an intimate, personal way. And so we're going to see that today in the book of Mark as we read in chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. We're going to see the love of Jesus Christ, and we're going to know Jesus in a deeper way together. So Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, this is the word of God. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof of them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray together. Dear God, be with us as we study your word together. Open up our hearts so that we could truly receive this word. God, many of us have been going to church for a long time, and we've heard many amazing stories about your miracles. But God, there are still some of us here who still do not know who you are. There are many of us here who know a lot about the things that you have done, the amazing things that you have done, but there are many of us here who still do not know you, O Lord. So God, I pray through the power that only you have, the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts so that all of us here would know you, that we would have a relationship with you, that our lives will be changed by your forgiveness and by your salvation. So be with me as I preach your word, and be with our church as we learn from your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, who here has heard the cry of a baby before? Okay. I think I've shared this like every week, so like in the last month, but Esther and I are expecting a little girl. We haven't heard the little baby cries in a while. Caleb still cries about some things, but you know, when you hear a baby cry, you know, how do we respond? Well, it might depend on how we're feeling. It might depend on the time of day. If it's the middle of the night and you hear, wah, wah, you might feel tired. Oh, whose turn is it to go take care of the baby, right? If it's in the morning and you're awake and you hear the baby crying and you try all different types of things to get the baby to stop, you might wonder to yourself, what do you want? I can't figure it out. What are you asking for? And, you know, maybe they're hungry, right? Maybe they just want you to hold them. But there's other times, right? I mean, babies, the reason they cry is because they're crying out for care. They're crying out because they depend on others to take care of them for their needs. And so whether it's food or just a loving touch, they also depend on us for something that many of us dread, when their diapers are dirty. And it's always amazed me how such a cute little kid could produce such a foul smell. I mean, all they drink is milk, and yet somehow still they make an incredible smell that definitely hits you as you're changing their diaper. You know, I've been blessed to raise Caleb. He's almost 3 years old now. Actually, he's going to be 3 in February. Oh, it's February already. He's going to be 3 this month. And, you know, one of the joys of taking care of him, it is being there for his needs. And it's a great responsibility to care for a child. Because you don't just take care of their physical needs. You don't just take care of their emotional needs. But you have to think about them and their whole person. And you have a responsibility, especially as a believer, to grow them and teach them more about who God is. And babies need us. They need us. And I remember when Caleb was still very small. He's growing so fast. But I remember when he was so small, and, you know, imagine if he's crying, wah, wah, you know, he can't talk yet, and he's just a little tiny baby. Imagine if I went over to Caleb, and I just looked at him while he was crying, and I said, Caleb, you figure it out. I hear you crying, but I am not going to change your diaper. It's way too smelly. I don't know if you've been sneaking other kinds of food in. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to help you. Imagine if I did that with my child, my baby. Now, I could do that. I mean, there are sadly parents who neglect their children in different kinds of ways. So I have the power to do that. I have, you know, if I wanted to do that, I could. But of course, I love my child, and so I would never do that. And spiritually speaking, we are all, every single human being that's born into this world, we are like a baby in need of someone. We are like a baby in dirty diapers that needs someone to come and clean us up. Spiritually speaking, we are helpless like a baby. Now, maybe some of us here are saying, well, it's been a long time since I've been a baby. But spiritually speaking, we need God in the same way that a little baby needs a parent. Spiritually, we are left in our dirty diaper, soiled diapers, in our filth of our sin, and there's only one person who can come and clean us off. Only God can rid us of the filth of our sin. It is only He who can do it. And you know what he says? He says that he not only has the power to clean us spiritually, but he is willing to clean up our mess. See, he has the power to do it, and he has the willingness, the love to do it. And those are the two things I'm going to talk about today, is we have to know the power of Jesus, and we have to know the love of Jesus. So let's start with that first point, know the power of Jesus. In verse 40, it says this, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now, the person that comes before Jesus had a disease called leprosy. The disease of leprosy is now known as Hansen's disease, but in Jesus' time, there was no known cure for this disease. It's caused by a bacterial infection, and it causes people to lose feeling. It causes them to lose feeling in their skin. And so maybe when we were younger, we thought, oh, when we heard about leprosy, it's like you imagine someone's ears just falling off and fingers falling off. But really what happens with leprosy is because you lose feeling in your body, like the sense of touch, even the sense of pain, you can't feel. And so even if you were to break, you know, your toe or get a scratch or get a cut, you wouldn't be able to feel that. And so oftentimes, people who had leprosy, especially in those times, in the biblical times, there were people who perhaps if they had leprosy, they would lay down first to go to sleep. And while they're asleep, there might be some little animals that come in and actually just chew off a finger of yours. And you would wake up without a finger. And so leprosy was a big deal. Now, there is a missionary, a doctor named Dr. Brand, and he did extensive research on leprosy, and that's what he found, that many lepers had missing toes and fingers for that very reason. And so in the time of Jesus, lepers really had no hope. There was no medical cure for the disease. Some people went blind because they lost feeling in their eyelids, and so they couldn't really blink. There was no medicine, no doctors, no one who had the power to heal a leper. But in verse 41, we see Jesus come. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. You see, Jesus does something here. He simply stretches out his hand and touches him and says the words, "Be clean." And immediately, not hours later, not days later, not weeks later, immediately the leprosy leaves this man. He speaks the word and the disease is healed. He speaks the word and the disease runs, it goes away. And that is knowing the power of Jesus. Remember, it is God who spoke the word into motion, the world into motion, just by a word. When he said, "Let there be light," there was light. When he created the heavens and the earth, all the creatures of the earth, it was by his word that he did so. And so even in this instance, we see what Jesus is doing is he's revealing his power as God. He's healing this man with leprosy in a way that no other person could but God himself. Immediately. He doesn't give him an antidote and says, "Take this once a week and you'll feel better over time." Immediately, the leprosy leaves. That's the power of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, in your life, do you live knowing that the one you have a relationship with, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, he is one with the power of God. He is God. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're sick, every time he's going to heal you. But do you understand that he has the power to heal? That's who God is. I feel sick right now. I prayed, you know, to feel better. I feel good enough to preach the word of God. I feel like that I can always do with the power of the Holy Spirit. but I still am a little bit congested. I still feel a little bit sick. But I know that God, if you wanted to right now, I'd be fine. That's the power of God. He does amazing things that only he can do. And we see the response of the leper, right? We see this man who had leprosy, but we see how he views God. Look at verse 40 in the way that he comes before Jesus. It says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now, this is a very interesting thing that we see. This man with leprosy, we see his posture as he goes before Jesus. He comes imploring, begging, and kneeling. And he doesn't say, "You have to make me clean." He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He acknowledges the power of Jesus. This man with leprosy comes, and he knows that God can heal. He doesn't have to heal, but if he will, he can make him clean, that he can make him healed. He's basically saying, "Lord, I'm not worthy to be before you, but please, I know that you have the power. Will you help me?" You see, he's surrendering. He's throwing his life before God. He's throwing his life before Jesus and saying, "You're the only one that I can hope in. You're the only one I know that will not fail. You have the power." And so he says, "If you will, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You don't have to heal me, but I ask, will you heal?" And I started thinking about that. What does it mean to know the power of Jesus? If you truly know the power of Jesus and who he is, then even in the way that you approach Jesus, it changes. Because when you know the power of Jesus, the way that you approach him changes because you know now who you are. When you see God, all-powerful God, and you see yourself, but you think that you can have a relationship with him through Christ, what an awesome thing, how humbling that is. So this is, again, a question to you. Think about how hopeless this man with leprosy must have felt. There was no cure known. Absolutely hopeless. So my first question to you is, do you go to Jesus when you feel that you're in a hopeless situation? Do you actually first go to Jesus Christ in prayer, in the word, and say, "Lord, you're the one who I'm going to hope in"? Second, if we do go to him, how do we approach him? Do we approach him like this leper did, in humility? Oftentimes, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we don't go with humility. We go with demands. We go with demands to God and say, "God, this is what I want. You need to do this. I need you to do this." And maybe we don't say it like that, but in our hearts, that's how we feel. And we feel, "God, if you don't give me this thing, then I don't know if you're real. If you don't give me this thing, then I don't know if you have power." No, knowing Jesus in his power means you humble yourself and you recognize he has the power to do anything. But we also humble ourselves to say, "I know you and your power, but I also trust in who you are." So in your difficult situations, do you go to Jesus? Do you know his power? He said, "You can make me clean. There's no one else that can make me clean. I can't do this on my own. I can't clean off myself. I can't heal myself. I can't rid myself of this disease." And so he surrenders his life to Jesus. So what is your hopeless situation? In what circumstances are you in that you feel hopeless? Have you been going to Jesus? Do you know the power of Jesus? Maybe it's things going on in your family, hardships. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's finances. Whatever it might be that you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, do you know the power of Jesus Christ in your life? If you are a believer of Jesus, he is our Father in heaven. He is capable. He is able. He is all-powerful. Do you trust that? Do you go to him? Do you humble yourself and say, if you will, God, please, will you do it? So we need to know Jesus, the power of Jesus. And second thing is this, we need to know the heart of Jesus. We need to know the heart of Jesus. Let's look at verse 40 to 42 again. It says, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So when we look at this passage, what's happening here is actually an amazing thing. This idea of making someone clean. In the Greek, the word is katharizo, which means to make clean and to purify and to heal. Because not only does Jesus heal this man of a physical disease, he purifies the man spiritually. He cleanses the man's sins. And Jesus Christ is making clear again that he's not just God of the physical, but also God of the spiritual realm. Yes, what no doctor could do, he healed the physical disease of this man. But as well, no man or doctor or rabbi or teacher could do, he forgave the man's sins. And there's a very great spiritual significance of leprosy. In biblical times, in that context, actually, if you had leprosy, you were in a kind of perpetual state of being considered unclean because of the lesions on your skin, cuts, wounds, different things. But if you had this kind of disease in the Israelite people, you were considered unclean. And so many times what they would do is they would set aside an area and say, well, okay, if you're a leper and you have a disease of leprosy, we're going to keep you confined in this area so that you don't pass this disease on to anyone else and so that no one else can be considered spiritually unclean. And there was also the thought that those who had leprosy, that it was connected to the sins of their ancestors. And so there's all these things that if you had leprosy, you're an outcast. You were made to feel like you didn't have worth. You were made to feel like you didn't have value. You were unclean. And you could actually never become cleansed because it's a disease that you have for your life. So basically, Jewish people did not want to have anything to do with those who were lepers. And really, in a sense, people with leprosy were treated as if they were already dead. Now, one of the things that's interesting is, that doctor and missionary that I talked to you about, Dr. Paul Brand, who did extensive research on leprosy, and he did mission work to people who had the disease. One of the things that he noted that maybe many people don't think about leprosy is the reality that so many people with leprosy, what they're looking for, what they desire is simply to have someone who would care for them and touch them. That's what he says. More than any other person in the world, the person with leprosy needs to be treated by somebody who will reach out his hand and touch him. Oh, how I have seen men break down into tears at that time because they have found someone who would simply touch them. Now, let me tell you why this is important. We talk about the power of Jesus, but now we're talking about the heart of Jesus. What does Jesus Christ do? When we look at it, it says that he's moved with pity, he reaches out his hand and touches. In the NIV here, it says, filled with compassion, Jesus is moved deeply in his heart for this man with leprosy. And so he goes out of his way. He says, I am willing. And he goes out of his way to be personal in his love, and he touches the leper. Jesus didn't have to touch this man, did he? He's God. Just with the words, even a mile away, he could have just said, "Be clean." And this leper's disease would have gone away immediately. He could have just stood next to him and said, "Be clean." And the disease would have gone away. That's the power of Jesus. But what does he do? He's moved with compassion. He cares personally for the man. And so he reaches out his hand and he touches this leper. And so what is Jesus Christ doing here as he touches the leper? What does that mean? Remember, we just talked about it. If you touch someone with a disease, you yourself are considered unclean. And so when Jesus says, "I am willing," and he touches the man, he defiles himself and makes himself in a way unclean so that the man could be free of his disease and so that he could be made clean. And so this is a picture, a small picture of what Jesus Christ would go on to do, isn't it? You see, Jesus, who is pure, who is holy, who is righteous, we know that he would go on to be defiled in a great way that he did not deserve. We know that Jesus would go on to be tortured, whipped, beaten, but on the cross, that he would take the sins of those, all of us, the sin of the world upon his shoulders for those who would believe in him. He would be defiled upon the cross. He would take the punishment and the wrath of God that we deserve because of that sin. And he would be defiled so that those who believe in him could be forgiven, so that we could be made clean. That's the heart of Jesus. It's the heart of Jesus. You know, I forget who said it, but I remember a pastor preaching powerfully about the cross, and you know, he said this line, and he said, you know, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus upon the cross, it was love. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus up on that cross. It was love. Because he didn't have to stay up there. We know his power. But his willingness, that's what shows the care. His personal touch. It shows us that he's not just a distant God who's just waiting for us to do something wrong so that he could punish us. Or so that when you do things right, he blesses you in a special way because you're doing everything right. No, he blesses us, he cleanses us, he purifies us by his grace. Do you know the love of Jesus? Do you know the heart of Jesus? You know, a lot of times when things are difficult, when we're in difficult circumstances, when things don't seem to be going our way, that's when it's hardest to remember who Jesus is. But he's always with us, and he has power, but he also has the heart of grace and love. So do you know Jesus? Not just do you know a lot about Jesus, a lot of the things that he's done, what he can do, but do you know him in a personal way? That's always the question, isn't it? You can know a lot about the Bible, you can know a lot about Jesus, but if you don't know him, if you haven't experienced his love, if you have not experienced a relationship with him, then you don't actually know who he is. He's God who has the power to heal. He's God who has the heart to heal. And ultimately, even if we are not healed of physical disease here on this earth, even if our circumstances in this life do not change, our eternity, our souls, for those of us who believe, he was defiled so that we could be made clean. And it's the same way. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we recognize his power, but recognize his heart and his love for us, and we say, God, I have sinned. I need your forgiveness. I believe in you. I want to have a relationship with you. Then just like that, you're saved. You're made new. He doesn't say, okay, I hear you. Now prove yourself to me over the course of time, and then I'll let you know if I've truly forgiven you. He doesn't say that. He says, when you believe, the moment you believe and give your life to the Lord, you're saved once and for all. So whatever the hopeless situation it is that you're going through, know Jesus. Know the power of Jesus. Know the heart of Jesus. In Romans 8:28, it says, in all things God works for the good of those who believe in him. In all things, whether they're difficult circumstances or the best of times, he works all these things together for the good of those who know him, who believe in him. Without Jesus, we are spiritual lepers. Without Jesus, we have a disease that we cannot remedy, a disease that we do not have the cure for ourselves. It's not the most brilliant doctors and scientists in the world could not come up with a cure for the disease of sin. There's only one person who can take away our sins. And there's only one who is willing to do it. And that's God. It's Jesus. So do you know Jesus? Apart from God, we're like babies. We're stuck in our own mess, in our stinky, dirty diapers, and we can't care for ourselves. All we can do is cry. But when we cry out to God, he comes to us and meets us every time. He meets us where we're at. That shows us that he's willing, and like a caregiver, like a loving father, he wipes us down with his love. He's willing to cleanse off all the filth of our sin because of his love for us. This is the God we must know. Know the power of Jesus. Know the love of Jesus. To know Christ means we know these truths. And again, as we know Jesus, we can make him known to those around us. And I hope that as a church, that's what we're going to continue to do. We're going to grow more deep in our understanding of Jesus. We're going to know his power. We're going to know his heart. And as we grow in that, we're going to make other people know too about this amazing Jesus that we love and that we follow. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray in response to the word. Do you see how much Jesus loves you? Do you know Jesus? Maybe right now you're going through something in your life and you're thinking, I don't know if Jesus is who he says he is because things don't seem like they're going very well. I don't like how my life is right now. But Jesus says, look to what I reveal to you in my word. Look into your heart that though the circumstances of this life may not change, your eternity has been secured through Christ Jesus if you are a believer. But do you know that he has the power? Do you know that he's all powerful and he's with you? And do you know that he loves you, that he has the heart, the willingness to meet you in the midst of those circumstances so that you can be filled with hope, so you can be filled with a reminder of his amazing love for you? Can you just pray right now? If you don't know who Jesus is, just pray, Jesus, I want to know you in that kind of real way. And if you've been a believer for a long time, say, God, remind me of Jesus again and again. So just take a minute to pray, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that every single one of us here, in a personal way, knows who you are. God, you show to us your power, and you show to us your heart. Would you move in each one of us here to believe? If there are those of us here who are not yet believers, God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make yourself known to them and that they would believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for those of us here who are believers, maybe have been believers for a long time, may every day be a refreshing reminder of who you are. That we can say, I know Jesus. I know the power of Jesus in my life. I know the heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus in my life. I pray that every single one of us would be able to say that confidently because of the grace that you have shown to us. And as a church, may we know you so deeply so that we can make you known in this community, in our families, to the people around us. Help us, Lord. We need you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now